The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. I just had a wonderful experience. One of our faithful listeners who has been listening a long time, listens, I believe, every day, just called to talk about her husband and his service for our country in World War II. This sweet lady is 98 years old. 98 years old. And she called and wanted to talk just a little bit about Pearl Harbor and her husband. And her husband eventually died as a result of wounds that he received in World War II. But what a sweet lady, a regular listener, and she is 98 years old, and I spent most of that last break talking to her. I hope she's still listening, and I'm just so grateful that she called. What an incredible audience we have. We have a lot of young people in our audience. And then we have 98-year-olds as well and everything in between as well. And, you know, I'm going to move on to other things, I promise. But in light of what we were talking about before the break, one of the greatest blessings for me is the diversity of this audience, economically, educationally, and racially. This is a very, very racially diverse audience. We have obviously a bunch of white people. We have a bunch of black people, a bunch of Asians. Every ethnicity, every race, this audience is incredibly diverse. And if you ever come to any of our events, Pastor's Breakfast, Women's Event, you will see the diversity on display. And it's such a great, great blessing to know that we have such diversity, age-wise, race-wise, and that's one of my great blessings, is to know that we are reaching all kinds of people. And I won't even get into that. No, I'm just going to stay positive. All right. Hey, welcome. Thank you for joining me. Telephone number 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. If you were listening last week, I spent a lot of time going over an editorial written by a John Cooper. And before his editorial went absolutely viral in the Christian community, I'd never heard of John Cooper. He is the lead singer for Skillet. Now, I know that Skillet is a Christian rock band. That's all I know. If my life depended upon it, I could not tell you any of the songs they sing. I just couldn't. I'm sure I'm familiar with a bunch of them, but I have no idea. I've probably heard his name, but who is John Cooper? Well, he's the lead singer for Skillet. Well, he came out with an editorial about a week ago that, as I said, went absolutely viral. In the face of some well-known Christian leaders, musicians, and pastors who have just in the last 60 days quote unquote, fallen from the faith. I think that's a false. People don't fall from the faith. They make a choice. But well-known Christian leaders, musicians, pastors who have renounced Christianity. John Cooper wrote this incredible editorial, not attacking anybody, but saying some things that need to be said, things that I have been saying for at least 20 years. At least 20 years. He said it better, and he has a much bigger platform. And some of those things are, why in the world are we allowing 20-year-olds to define the theology in the evangelical church? Because today, in many circles, it is not the preaching that determines the theology, it is the music. Now think about this, the change that we have seen. And you know, some would say it's good, some would say it's bad. I'm just stating this as fact. If you were to go back 100 years, where were the big crowds in the Christian community? Revivals and tent meetings. Winona Lake is still a conference center. They would have thousands and thousands and thousands of people at Winona Lake. There would be tent meetings. There would be revivals where people, if you go back 150 years ago, there would be a big tent meeting, revival meeting, camp meeting. They would call them camp meetings. And people would travel for 3 or 4 days to get to the camp meeting. Why? For the preaching. If you wanted to draw a big crowd, you had a camp meeting, you had some well-known preachers in, and sometimes not even well-known preachers, and they would start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'd go to midnight at night, and there'd be some singing. There'd be some, you know, there'd be congregational singing, but one preacher after another, and people would sit and listen to preaching all day long for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. Sometimes the camp meeting would go for 2 weeks and to be preaching all day long. If you wanted a crowd, it was preaching. Today, if you want a crowd, you have a concert. Again, some people say that's great. But I'm just, that is fact. If you want a big crowd, you don't have a camp meeting, you don't have a preacher, you have some musicians, well-known musicians, and you have a concert. And who is conducting these concerts? 20-year-old kids who know, in many cases, not always, but in many cases, know nothing about theology. Nothing. And I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and a huge change that has occurred in music in the last century. Most of the songs written until the last 50 years, most of the songs written in Christianity were written by mature believers. Not 20-somethings, mature believers, and they wrote the songs because God gave them something. Today, we have, and please, don't assume that I'm just judging. I'm just throwing some things out for you to think about. Today, much if not most of the music is written by very young people who have very little theological background. And it's written because they have a contract with a recording company and they are required to put out so many albums a year. And so the artists sit around and say, oh my goodness, we got to come up with 4 new songs for the next project. And they sit down and because a deadline is coming up, they put together a bunch of songs for the next CD project. Now, some of those songs are really good. And I'm not saying that God cannot inspire and use those. I'm just pointing out that was never done before. Christian music came not because of a contract, not because of a recording company, not because it was needed on the next CD or album or project, but simply because God had spoken to them. I bring this up to come back to this editorial that went viral, and it has received a great deal of attention, positive and negative. And that's what I want to deal with. Hang with me. Hang with me. I think I've got some important points just for you to think about. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. We'll be back.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
All right, back to this editorial written by John Cooper, frontman for the rock band Skillet. A lot of people have shared it. A lot of people have praised him. A lot of people have criticized him for judging another brother. Well, he has responded to the criticism, and yeah, I don't know whether he needs to or not, but he came out with another piece on social media basically saying he wasn't trying to judge anybody. He was trying to, quote, protect the little ones of the faith. He said, quote, I wasn't attacking one person in the post, and he had been mulling over the issue for several years. He went on, it's time for the silent majority of the church to speak out and say, hey, we are reaffirming that there's only one thing in this world that never changes, and that is the unchanging, unerring Word of God. And I just thought, if it cost me my career, if it cost me some fans, I don't even care anymore. And he wasn't finished. He says, we've got people that have an influence that are coming out so hard against the gospel, and it's dishonoring to God. As the Bible would say, I'm trying to protect the little ones of the faith, the weak ones of the faith that are followers of people and that don't have knowledge of the Word of God. And they hear these things and they go, oh, wow, I can't believe that the church is unwilling to talk about hard things, which is what one of the songwriters for Hillsong said. He says, the same Jesus that loves people and loves the world as and is accepting, which is all true, by the way, is the same Jesus that came into the temple with the money changers and said, not in my Father's house. Get this stuff out of here. He doesn't like to be dishonored. He is the lamb, but he's also the lion, and I'm just ready to see Christians nicely stand up. And if somebody is going to dishonor God in public, you say, hey, I'm not trying to be rude, but that's not actually true. I'm just pleading with the church. Let's get back to preaching the true, unerring Word of God, and everything else will fall in line. When you go on and start influencing people in public, when you're an influencer, you're kind of moving into that territory of leading people astray. We need to think before we jump on our social media. Well, he is issuing a cry, a call to make sure that we are doing nothing to undermine the authority of the Word of God. And may I issue this challenge? Not to be divisive, I hope. It will be uniting. I know that there are many worship leaders listening. Full-time, part-time, volunteer, you're part of the praise band at your church, you're part of the choir. Can I issue a challenge? Please, please, please don't pay any attention to your music as to whether it is popular on the radio or not. If it is, that's fine. If it's never been played on the radio, fine. We are allowing the playlist on Christian radio to determine what we sing together in our congregational worship. That should not be. And hey, we have a Christian music station here. We operate the fish. Good stuff. But the playlist on your local Christian radio station, your Christian music station, should not determine what you use in your worship service. Number one, first of all, is it theologically sound? I got news for you. There's a whole bunch of contemporary Christian music that is not theologically sound at all. Some of it is just so unbelievable, shallow and fluffy, and it's nothing more than emotional fluff. Has very little truth to it. Scripture would call it milk. Don't use it. Make sure that what you're singing is theologically sound. Some of the more popular worship songs of the last 10 years are so bad theologically. Just bad theology. Make sure it's theologically sound. That's number one. Number two, pay very little attention to whether it motivates people. The primary purpose of worship is not to motivate me or you. It is to honor God. Worship is not man-centered. It is God-centered. We should never sit around in a planning session for worship and saying, well, what do you think people will like? Wrong. Now, you should also never sit around and say, well, let's pick some songs that are just unbelievably hard to sing and that nobody will like. Of course not. It has to be singable. And by the way, that's another pet peeve I have with a whole bunch of contemporary Christian music. It's not singable. It's almost impossible to sing. It's bad musically. It's bad melodically as well as bad theologically. First of all, is it theologically sound? Second, does it honor God, His holiness, His sovereignty? Is it God-centered, not man-centered? And then third, is it musically sound? Is it easy to sing? It doesn't mean it has to be catchy. But there are just so many contemporary Christian songs that the praise band knows it, and they've heard it, 4,000 times, and they practice. But as far as the congregation, it's almost impossible to sing. Dump that stuff. Throw it out. Why in the world are you singing? Well, because everybody's playing it on the radio. Refer to point one. All right. Do you know what? I see a new movement within contemporary music. I see a new movement in the evangelical church on exactly this topic, and I think it's encouraging. Yeah, I'll have just a couple more things to say, and then we'll move on to other things.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.